Well, the name East Anglia's Children's Hospices is not one I'm going to need to do much to refresh your memory about. But there's been a change of leadership at the top. The former chief executive, Graham Butland, has recently retired. And he's taken over, the role is taken over by Phil Gormley, who joins me on the line. Hi, Phil.
Hello, Neil. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Very good. So Graham Butland was basically in the role for about 10 years and now he's retired away. Handing over the role of CEO during a pandemic, I'm guessing that wasn't the original plan.
No, it wasn't, Neil. And in fact, Graham, I didn't get the chance for a handover. So Graham retired, I think, last autumn, actually. And Tracy Rennie, our absolutely brilliant director of care, has been covering the role whilst I extricated myself from where I was working, and I landed here in August. But you're right, I guess the interview process probably concluded in March, just before national lockdown. So the job I thought I was walking into has certainly got some different aspects to it, you know, now as a result of what we're all living through, sadly.
Oh, indeed. And we'll take a look at the work of the hospice in just a second. I have to say, yeah. I did look you up on LinkedIn just to see a bit about your background. According to LinkedIn, former Chief Constable of Norfolk, former Chief Constable of Police Scotland, Deputy Director General of the National Crime Agency, and your last job was Her Majesty's Inspector of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services. This is a career change.
Yeah, it is, Neil, and what a refreshing one it is. I did 35 years, really, in policing or the police inspectorate, and I absolutely loved the overwhelming majority of it and met some great people, but, you know, there's a time to move on. I'd known about each from when I was Chief Constable of Norfolk. You couldn't really be Chief Constable of Norfolk or Cambridgeshire or Suffolk and not come across the fantastic work of each, so when somebody pointed out to me that the vacancy was being advertised, I thought, well, I'd love to try and make a contribution to that. You know, it's a charity that I don't think I've met anybody who isn't moved by the work of each, and it's in the region, and an opportunity to try and make a difference. And so, yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I was very clear with the trustees, you know, if you want somebody with deep medical background or previous experience in hospice work, you must pick somebody else, because I don't have that. But I've got some other skills I've acquired along the way, and if those are thought to be helpful, I'd love to come and join. And unfortunately, the trustees were persuaded, and here I am.
And it's been an interesting past few years for each, because you've had the building of the new hospice up in Norfolk, and obviously you've got the high profile patron in the Duchess of Cambridge. So it's been some good. How's things since the pandemic though? How are things being affected?
Well, it is really tough, Neil, as it is for every other charity, I would imagine. So we've seen a collapse, is a dramatic word, but a collapse really in our fundraising, because, you know, any events which involve people getting together can't happen. So, you know, from the London Marathon through to local park runs through to, you know, small-scale village get-togethers, we've benefited from all of those over the life of the organisation, but they've all stopped. So we've had to think really hard. We are very lucky with the donor and supporter base that we've had. We've had to think quite hard about trying to put some events online. There's a, I think it's called Every Mile Counts, is running at the moment. So if people are interested, please go onto our website and you can sign up for a run, a walk, a cycle ride. I've signed up for the 6 mile run, so that should hopefully shift a bit of lockdown lard. So we're trying to do that. And I guess what we're also looking at is trying to get reliable income streams in. So I'm really keen to look at a regular giving. So if people feel able to just make a small contribution on a monthly basis, that's extremely helpful, because it enables us to plan. And the other thing that we're looking at very hard is Give As You Earn scheme. So if there are small, medium or large employers out there listening to this, or people who'd like to have a conversation with their employer, payroll giving, so that, you know, a small amount every month taken off before you get your pay to you, which has tax advantages for us, those very small amounts soon add up, and it's a stable, reliable income stream, which means we can plan. So the finances are really challenging, there's no doubt about that, and we've had to learn how to deliver services in different ways. So and we've learned new things, actually, which will carry on into the new world. So some of the services we deliver, which were delivered face to face with families and young people and children, are now being delivered down mediums like Zoom and Microsoft Teams. And actually, to I think some people's surprise, because people were concerned about that, they've worked extremely well. And I think we'll be looking to do that, you know, as the world hopefully returns to something like that which it was. We'll be able to take some of that learning with us. But there's no doubt it's going to be a very, very challenging 12 months for us.
I can imagine. And of course, one of the other income streams you've got is the shops, because we see plenty of those around the area. And I guess not only having those shut, it must be so frustrating for all the volunteers who work with you in those. It's something they give their heart and soul into, and they've been stuck doing it, haven't they?
Well, Neil, thank you. I mean, I should, of course, have mentioned our retail offer. We've got 43 shops. And actually, through Herculean efforts by our paid staff and our volunteers, those are all open. We're taking about 85% of what we did the same time last year.
So that's not bad, is it?
It's not bad. It's not back where it was, and that's a 15% gap. If we end up having further lockdowns, then that, of course, will contract further. Mm. But there's some brilliant work going on. I spent last Saturday, actually, in the shop in Thetford, working with Bridget and the team there, and you get a real sense of the contribution that volunteers are making to us. Some of them can't come in because they're in vulnerable groups and they're naturally worried and they should prioritise their own health. But, you know, an awful lot of people are coming back. We've had a lot of donations, and that's brilliant, but it is causing us a bit of, not a headache, I wouldn't say that, but there's a major logistical exercise now in terms of sorting that and distributing it around our sites. But, you know, people have been very generous with their time and their money, and I just ask people to continue to remember us as they make those decisions about where they donate things they no longer want and where they donate any cash that they can afford to give to charity.
Indeed. I mean, you've obviously only had your feet under the desk for a couple of months now, but looking sort of more medium and long term, are there, as I say, you had the new project up in Norfolk. Have you got stuff penciled in, which, all right, you might have to adjust the time scale or the budget a bit, but have you got stuff penciled in to be doing?
Yes. You know, there's an ambition to further expand our services in Cambridgeshire, particularly into the Peterborough area. Provide services for that part of the county where we don't have a physical presence in the centre of a hospice. You know, the reality, Neil, is actually we are determinedly focused on making sure that we survive the present crisis and we're in a position to thrive as the world reopens. And we're thinking very hard about how we do support children, young people and their families. You know, we've seen people, for all sorts of sensible reasons, quite reluctant to come into the hospices, and they want our services delivered in their homes. So we've managed to restart our Help at Home scheme, which the volunteers go in and we'll cut the grass, do the shopping, do some decorating, all those things that we all take for granted. But if you're caring for, you know, a very sick young child or young person, you can't do that. So we are thinking about how do we support people in their own homes, because that's where most of us want to be. Focusing really on fundraising, where do we shift our attention to, you know, on the assumption that it's going to be some period of time before major events and fundraising events can take place. So, again, if I don't want to pin more of them, but if people are making their wills, for instance, if they can think about remembering us with a legacy, that's hugely helpful. And we do benefit from that. You know, we get a lot of goodwill expressed through people's wishes at the end of their lives through that medium. So, yeah, we have got plans, we've got ambitions. But the other area, which I think is, for me, new to this really is interesting, the transition from childhood into adulthood. Many of our young people now are living much longer than they would have done even 10 years ago.
Sure.
And that transition from a children's hospice to a care environment that is appropriate to a young adult. And I can see that, you know, as in the next months and years, we need to have conversations with adult hospices about how do we provide that age-appropriate support for young people who, you know, are past 18, which is the you know, where we generally speaking, that's the, you know, we're focused on under 18s. And of course, adult hospices, for all the obvious reasons, are focused at the other end of the age group.
Sure.
We've got an increasingly, you know, the fabulous news is we've got an increasing number of young people coming out of childhood into adulthood and well into adulthood, and we need to make sure that they and their families' needs are met. And I think that's a, you know, conversation I'd be keen to develop within the region with other hospices about how do we support each other in that. Because I think, you know, we need to have the mindset that we're collaborating with each other rather than competing.
Yes.
And how do we leverage the whole of the network to make sure that people's needs are met in the most appropriate and effective way.
Well, it's going to be an interesting time for you there, Phil. It really is. Well, listen, it's been great to catch up and just get the feel of the new CEO at East Anglia's Children's Hospices. Thanks very much indeed for talking to me today. If you need anybody abseiling down the front of the Guildhall or anything, I'll be up for another one, and I'll get a few more from Cambridge 105 to come along and help as well. But
well, lovely. And if you or your colleagues fancy doing the Every Mark Counts challenge, then please go online and have a look and see what you fancy doing.
We could all use losing a few pounds, definitely, Phil. Lovely to speak to you. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Neil. Take care. Bye-bye.